Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed about owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. We have a great show this morning. We're meeting with Mike Nero, who's the founder of the Naturelle Franchise Opportunity. Naturelle is a revolutionary new green carpet cleaning and upholstery cleaning service. They opened their full natural cleaning product and method, and this is made from sea kelp and contains no man-made chemicals, and it dries in about 30 minutes. No residue left behind, and that's coming up in segment two of Franchise Interview. Stick around because we got a great show.
Franchise Interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919.
Need a business loan? Talk to Diamond Financial Services, the experts in franchise financing nationwide. Whether you're looking to start a franchise, acquire an existing franchise, or expand your territory through opening new locations, Diamond Financial stands by your side start to finish. From pre-qualification to packaging and presenting your application to securing a financial commitment and through the loan closing process, Diamond Financial is there. While you're waiting, thousands of others are making their financial dreams come true. Don't wait any longer. Pre-qualify now by completing a confidential, no-obligation financial analysis. Let's face it, traditional banks just aren't in the business of financing small business. At Diamond Financial, we specialize in securing franchise loans from $100,000 to $3 million and equipment leasing up to $150,000. Let us help you get started. Go to www.franchisefunding.net or call 877-508-2274. That's franchisefunding.net, 877-508-2274.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. Interviews, how are you doing today, my friend?
Great, Marty. How about yourself this week?
Good, good. A little cold out there today. You know, as I was saying earlier before the show, I'm looking forward to spring. So how many days till spring training? You know that. That's how I know we're getting closer to spring.
Yeah, well, right. This is winter. You're right. Here in the Northeast, just freezing. But time goes quickly, so don't worry, Marty. Your warm weather is not too far away.
Well, we're halfway through January, you know, and as I mentioned, I'm going to Miami at the end of the month. So looking forward to that, you know. But our last show, Don, we met with Vincent Garcia and Jody Scott of the Superior Wash Franchise Opportunity. They're a national 24-hour mobile fleet washing company. Thought it was a very interesting concept. This was something different for us, wasn't it?
Yeah, right. We never had this type of concept on before, which is nice about the show. We're really expanding our database of so many different industries and franchising were covering. But, yeah, I mean, this kind of remind me of that there's just so many types of businesses out there that could be franchised. And, yeah, I think there's a lot of growth for this franchise, too. I mean, they've really only just begun, it seems.
Yeah, it does. It seems like they just, you know, tap the surface. You know, and it's something that, you know, I probably wouldn't initially, you know, if I was trying to put myself in the shoes of the franchisepreneur, Donna, the person buying a franchise, you know, and it's not something that I would initially think about, you know, but as it was presented, you know, the gentleman that was presenting the information, I thought it was, wow, I mean, what a big market, you know, there's plenty of growth. Doesn't seem like a very difficult sale, you know,
right.
Kind of just making your pitch. You know, this was a quote from one of the gentlemen that were on the show. It says, we saw a niche and developed a model that is absent in a variety of industry players. This was Jody Scott, co-founder of Superior Wash. We envision Superior Wash to become the country's number one brand in the segment, as there's no other concept that delivers the services that we do. So it's a pretty powerful quote, you know, if you think about it.
Right. And for people listening, it's a 24-hour mobile fleet washing company. They service some of the, you know, Fortune 500. 100 companies, they'll go to the place of business rather than a company having to drive their trucks and go somewhere to have them cleaned. And, you know, like many businesses, I guess the emphasis is just on detail. I mean, a lot of companies can do this type of work, but I guess, you know, they just want to give companies peace of mind knowing once they're done, they just have nothing to worry about. It's going to be a full, complete job, nothing uncovered.
Yeah, no, I learned a lot about them. I mean, what's even more amazing is that they're a home-based business. You know, I
right.
mean, this is a home-based business opportunity, you know, so it really is quite amazing. We've had some fantastic home-based concepts on the show over the last 2 years, you know, and that certainly helps keep your costs down, you know, from having that big office and things like that. So,
And this franchise wasn't, remember we talked a little bit about it's a nice problem to have, just a lot of requests, too much business. I guess any new franchisee can really step in knowing they'll, if not have national accounts, really have a real
exactly.
need for their service.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, some of their clients, I think it was like FedEx, Coca-Cola, you know, and it's really so important. You know, I thought about it before last week's show, you know, saying, you know, the truck, you know, or the trucks really do represent the company, you know, and typically if you're driving on, you know, you have a lot of highways where you are, you know, and you see a dirty truck, it kind of represents a bad image of the company, doesn't it?
Right.
You know, but typically when you see a FedEx truck pull up or a Coca-Cola truck, you know, I mean, those are fairly clean, you know, so
right.
It just really is so important. I mean, the truck does represent the company. That would be my sales pitch selling it, so
right.
It doesn't seem too difficult, but yeah, great opportunity. So I'd like to have them back again in the near future. And for our listeners, if you missed the show last week, go to franchiseinterviews.com and just go right to our interviews of the day. And you'll actually hear that interview. So,
right,
good show. And big news, Don, we launched the new franchiseinterviews.com this week. It actually went live. A lot of work went into it and market research. And so that's up. So for our listeners, go to franchiseinterviews.com and check it out. And we've got a lot of great feedback since it's been live the last couple of days. So
great site. Has all the past interviews, over 100 we've done. And simple
amazing
to
when you
navigate.
Yeah, it's amazing when you look at it, isn't it? And you say, oh, my God. Yeah, we did all these shows, you know. I mean, it seems like a lot of work, but,
right.
you know, it's just gone by so fast the last 2 years, you know, and it's really been amazing, you know, and it's become a fantastic website, if I do say so myself. I mean, we have interviews arranged by category, so if you're looking for a home-based business opportunity or you're looking for a food franchise, you know, you just go to the interviews by category section.
Right.
You just start there, you know, and we have interviews with some of the top franchise experts in the country. You know, we've met with people like your Michael Gerbers, you know, and
a whole bunch of authors and just so many different
absolutely.
Industries and experts, like you said. And, yeah, so we're excited about that. And we've only just begun, too. You know, even though we're in our third year, it seems like we've only just, you know, really started. We have, you know, just a lot of future plans.
Yeah, it's amazing what the future is going to bring for the show. You know, I mean, it has opened up a lot of opportunities for us. So just really excited about the next couple of years on
right.
what's going to happen with the company. So, yeah, it's been a lot of fun. And I know we have a great show today, don't we?
Yes, Mike Nero, CEO and founder of Naturelle. So we'll find all about the franchise and the product. And we have some young kids and as a matter of fact,
we can relate to it, can't we?
Just over the weekend, my son and daughter, they still haven't fessed up to it. They took one of the, you know, my pool table, even though I have it off
right,
to the side, the sticks and everything, they took the little chalk you use, which to chew up the,
oh, no.
the pool stick. It's blue in color on our tan carpet in our basement, and got some of that powder all over the carpet.
Oh,
so I'm sitting there like 9 o'clock at night trying to get the stuff out of the carpet. So, you know, I'm sure we all have our
But it's funny, they both denied it, though, you know. It's,
oh, yeah.
I guess it's nice to have twins because they can deny it, you know. So
they both
did
pointed
it or she
to
did it.
They pointed to each other and then walked away.
Well, maybe Mike can give us some advice as far as how to get it out, because I know he's been in, and he'll tell us the story, he's been in the carpet cleaning business, but it's just, it's really amazing how he came up with this concept. When you hear these ideas, Don, you know, and we hear the words today, like, you know, going green, you know, or
right.
I think Mike is referred to as an ecopreneur, you know, all these cool terms.
Right.
But it really is neat, right? From the way I understand it, and he'll explain it better than I do, is that they clean with sea kelp, you know. I said, wow.
Yeah.
I said, you know, whoever thought, and it's a great concept, because I guess apparently it dries very quickly, and it's been one of the reasons why we haven't had the carpets cleaned yet, you know, I mean, after the holidays,
right.
You know, especially with the baby. I mean, I was telling you before the show, I mean, he's just made a mess of the carpets, you know, and we just want to throw in the towel, but...
Well, now he's over 1 year old, so he might not be a baby anymore, right?
I guess so. We still call him a baby. You know, but he acts like a baby when he's going to get in trouble, you know. But, yeah, I mean, you know, so hiring a carpet cleaner, I mean, it's very wet, you know. So sometimes you have to leave the house.
Right.
You can't come back for, like, you know, 2 hours, you know. Right. So this concept is very, very different. It's a really great story. So I'm looking forward to having Mike on the show today. It sounds like an interesting franchise opportunity.
Next week, Marty, we have franchise Shelf Genie, Alan Young, CEO and co-founder of that company. And then in February, we got, of course, as usual, have a few shows lined up, Jersey Mike's Subs.
Yeah, we'll bring our appetites for that one. I know you're familiar with Jersey Mike's. I'm familiar with
them. We're working with
them.
They're based here in New Jersey. And then the end of the month, next month, we have Hollywood Tans.
That's great.
I'm familiar with them as well. So, you know, looking
so we got a nice lineup over the next couple months, you know, and we're going
right.
to be announcing some new shows for March and April in the next couple weeks as well. So,
yeah,
I'm looking forward to that.
Here's something, Marty. Birmingham Business Journal, buying a franchise. Advice is out there. To any existing or potential franchisee, the road to purchase involves many choices. Crucial choices include what specific franchise is the best fit, how will they go about funding the purchase, and what geographic area is the smartest location. Another crucial choice is whose advice and counsel to seek along the way. That is where a franchise broker or consultant generally comes in. But what, if any, difference is there between the two? And does it really matter who a potential franchisee gets help from? To be clear, let's go to the Federal Trade Commission's definition of a franchise broker. We've had several brokers on the show, and I'm always a little confused whether you call a person who helps people find a franchise a broker or a consultant.
And or sometimes
Marty,
they call them experts.
Right. It is defined as any person who sells, offers for sale, or arranges for the sale of a covered franchise that includes not only independent sales agents but also sub-franchisors that grant sub-franchises. So according to the FTC, anyone who sells a franchise is a franchise broker, and both broker and consultant are placed under the same roof. That's the way Robert Needham sees it. Needham, president and senior consultant at Birmingham-based Franchise Inc., says anyone who acts as a third party in the purchase of a franchise is called a broker, and both are paid by the seller, the franchisor. According to the law, there is no difference. Franchise brokers and franchise consultants are legally the same thing. This was written up by David Lamb, recently launched FranTrends.com, a news and information resource for those involved or interested in the franchise industry. This
That's
is a,
great.
Like I mentioned, we're always talking about consultants, brokers, so that's just, you know, kind of the definition.
Well, it's great. You know, we've had Dr. Robert Needham on the show, Don, you know, and he was definitely one of my favorite shows. You know, he wrote the book Solving the Puzzle. Of franchise ownership, and
right.
Just very, very informative. We actually have him on our Great Quotes in Franchising podcast, you know, and he's up there with a company of like people like Michael Gerber and George Native, you know, and
right.
He said some really informative, he gave some informative lessons, you know, as far as buying a franchise goes. So, you know, for our listeners, go to our archives and listen to that show. That's a must-listen-to show. He did a great job.
Also buy the book, right?
And buy the book.
Here's something. It says, Denny's CEO says, try us again. This is out of Miami Herald by Elaine Walker. While 93% of adults have been to a Denny's, the problem for chief executive Nelson Marchioli is that only half of them come back. Now, we all know Denny's, you know, they're here in our part of the country.
Mm-hmm.
It says.
Well, when was the last time? When was the last time you were at a Denny's, though?
It's a good point. I mean, I think I've been there once, but it's probably like 5-6 years ago.
Yeah, same for me. I would say it's probably been, God, it's probably even longer, Don. I'm just thinking, you know, as you're talking about the article, I would say maybe about 7 to 10 years.
Right.
That I've been at a Denny's. I don't know why I haven't been back. I just haven't.
Yeah. It's not like we don't like it. It's a
right,
good
right.
point. Says here, Markey always challenges getting them to return to see the dramatic changes he has made in almost 8 years at the helm of the family dining chain. I've got to get the other half to try us again because we're not the Denny's they remember, said Marchioli, a former Burger King executive. Everybody thinks you know Denny's, but the fact of the matter, if you haven't been to Denny's in the last 3 years, then you haven't been to Denny's, he says. It says Marchioli is finally reaping some of the rewards from his efforts to turn the company around. In October, Denny's raised its earnings expectations to $20 million for the 08 year ending last month, a 90% increase over the previous year. It says getting there has taken plenty of work. His to-do list has included reducing the company's debt, launching new products, revamping the menu, doing other things. On a recent visit to South Florida, he sat down with the Miami Herald to discuss his efforts to reinvent Denny's. A couple, just a quick question here. They ask him, how did Denny's lose its way and its position as one of the dominant restaurant chains in the United States?
Mm-hmm.
He says, let's go back 35 years. There was no Starbucks, and McDonald's wasn't out on the highways and the byways of America.
Hmm.
Denny's was the first to be that friendly face people could rely on for a coffee and breakfast. But when the Starbucks and McDonald's came in, Denny's didn't fight for that share and let it go. That was the beginning of Denny's becoming less relevant in the minds of the consumers. This didn't happen overnight. This has happened probably over a couple generations. Where we allowed other people to take business from us. It used to be we could build it and they will come. That's not true anymore. Now we have to develop a relationship with the community. That's a good point.
It's a great article. I mean, it's really, it's as you're reading it, I'm saying, wow, because it ties into really everything that we've spoken about on the show. You know, I mean, franchisees must be open to change, you know, and it sounds like with this particular situation that Denny's didn't embrace the change, or they didn't really analyze what trends were taking place in the industry,
right.
You know, and as you said, you know, McDonald's came into town and Starbucks and, you know, people are in such a hurry today, you know,
right.
It's just kind of like in and out, you know, and they right. didn't do that, you know, and so they kind of dropped the ball there. So this is why, you know, as you're reading this, Don, I'm saying that franchisees must be open to change
right.
and trust the franchisor, you know, because there are going to be changes to your business. The way you're doing business now is not the way you're going to be doing business in 5 years or 10 years from now. And this is what the franchisor does. You know, I mean, they've
right.
been through this. They analyze what trends are taking place. They have some top experts working for their company. And, so, I mean, it's a very powerful article.
Yeah, and I'd love to see this chain really come back full force because there's not really, I mean, you know, breakfast, there's not so many quality places to go for breakfast out there.
No, there's really not. You know, and as you're reading, I said, God, I don't know why I haven't been back to Denny's. I just haven't thought about it. You know, it just hasn't occurred to me. You know, so.
Well, I mean, that's why I'm here for. I'm here to remind you of some of the good things in life.
Well, maybe I'll go there for lunch today. Or
okay, good. Here's something, Marty. Franchise Times Magazine, our friends over there by Jonathan Mays, it says performance anxiety to claim or not to claim. It says the top stores in the furniture rental franchise, Aaron Rents, who we've had on the show in the past, taken more than $2 million in annual sales on average after 3 years and finished with pre-tax earnings of over $370,000. We know this because the company makes the numbers public in a financial performance representation, what used to be known as an earnings claim. But it's not even necessary to find the franchise disclosure document to get this information because Aaron's prints the numbers in big white type in national advertisements. The earnings claim has become our biggest sales tool, says Steve Michaels, Vice President of Franchise Finance for the Atlanta-based furniture rental chain, which has nearly 1,600 company and franchise locations in the U.S. and Canada. A growing number of franchisors are warming to the idea of making financial performance representations, or FPRs. Once a hot potato among franchisors, roughly 30% of systems included an earnings claim in their 2006 financial disclosure document, then known as the UFOC, now it's the FDD, according to the most recent information available from Fran Data, a franchise research firm based in D.C. That's up from just over 20% just 2 years earlier.
Interesting.
And sales may be a primary reason. More and more are making them that's financial claims, said Brian Schnell, a franchise attorney with Minneapolis law firm Fagre and Benson. To me, it's a competitive advantage. If you're making an item 19, an FPR, and your competitor does not, you have a leg up. One big question, however, is whether recent federal rule changes will reverse that trend. Mm-hmm. A financial performance representation, in simple terms, is a statement of store-level earnings and cost information. It is designed to give franchisees an idea of how much money they can make or lose buying a franchise. Franchisors can't talk about revenues and potential profits of a store without making a detailed accounting in their disclosure documents.
Yeah, here, once again, it's another, you know, great article. Yeah, this was, you know, at one time, it was an advantage for the franchisor. And when we had Aaron's on the show, which, by the way, was I think, again, one of our top shows.
Right.
I remember the gentleman talking about it, you know, and talking about the earnings claims that they were so confident. And the funny thing was, a lot of accountants actually bought into the Aaron system because, you know, they look at the numbers and they say, wow, this makes a lot of sense, you know. And
right, accountants who were reviewing it for a potential buyer, the accountant reviewing it, say, hey, well, you know, why don't I do this?
Exactly. Now, you know, the with the new FDD, it's required that franchisors, that's how I understand it anyway, disclose this information. But the information, from how I understand it anyway, you know, it depends on who you talk to. It could be a little deceiving, I guess, because they use averages, don't they?
Right.
You know, an average could be a very deceiving number. So, you know, if one franchise made $10 million and the other one made $1 million in sales, you know, we'll take the average of that, you know, it's you know, let's say you have five, you know,
right.
So it can be a little deceiving, you know, so averages, you know, you always want to be a little careful with that as well.
Right.
And this is where the franchisee or talking to the franchisee really comes in handy because the FDD, I mean, I think we should even go deeper here, Don, to say, okay, the FDD has the list of all the franchisees, I guess from the last year, in the disclosure document. Call them up, you know what I mean? I mean, the numbers are right there.
Right.
And just contact them, you know, and
right.
See what they say. You know, I mean, they can give you the information. They can tell you exactly how much they made, their net profit, et cetera, et cetera. They can tell you if they're happy with the franchise, if they're disappointed with the franchise. This is where you're going to get most of your true information. And again, you have to take
right.
it with a grain of salt. You know, if there's some bitter franchisees out there, I mean, there could be a lot of reasons for them being bitter. It may not have anything to do with the franchise, you know.
Right.
So so it is great. I mean, it's but I think that's always the first place to start is contact the franchisees, you know, and
right.
you know, look at these numbers, show it to accountants and people like that. And
I never do enough due diligence. It goes on, Marty. Franchisee advocates have long called for the federal government to make them mandatory. A franchisor takes great pains to pre-qualify franchisee candidates, says Bob Pervin, chairman of the American Association of Franchisees and Dealers, whose book, The Franchise Fraud, includes a chapter on earnings claims. Once the franchisor has gone through the process of pre-qualifying a franchisee, from that point on, the franchisor should respond to any reasonable inquiry on the performance of the business. But the FTC didn't make earnings claims mandatory, agreeing with franchisors who worried about their legal liability should their franchisees submit false earning information. Instead, the FTC tweaked the law to ensure franchisors who opt out of making the earnings claim make it clear in the FDD that federal law allows them to make one and that they choose not to do so. Some franchisors for years had tried to excuse their refusal to provide store-level cost and earnings data by saying falsely that the FTC prohibited them from doing so. The FTC also made a handful of other changes. Among them, it allows franchisors to provide some cost information without having to submit an entire financial performance representation. I think that's what you were talking about.
Right.
This could lead some franchisors to decide against making an FPR. They may think that the cost information is enough for prospective franchisees and thus choose not to provide the information. Cost-type stuff has been explicitly excluded from the definition of an FPR, says Ryan Palmer, an attorney with the law firm of Kress Monroe. That can cause a downward trend in earnings claims. And it goes on a little bit, but
mm-hmm.
overall, you know, pretty interesting because I guess and I just spoke to a franchisor who was recently at the Miami show, and they had advertised some of their earnings claims and
mm-hmm.
said it got a lot of attention. So
yeah,
I guess someone looking to invest in a concept, they're maybe more apt to more seriously talk to a franchise. And I'm not here saying it's good or bad. I'm just saying, obviously, someone like Aaron's rents, if they have a track record and they're posting what their new franchisee can make, and I guess that gives a franchisee a lot of confidence.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, and I think it was a nice selling point for Aaron's at one time. You know, I don't know if they could still use it as a selling point, but they could mention that they've been, you know, doing this for a very long time now. You know what I mean? They're not required.
Right.
They were never required to do it. They just did it, you know, because the numbers, you know, the proof was in the pudding, you know. So they could still, you know, turn that around and,
right,
you know, use that, you know. So that's very interesting. So why don't we take a quick break here, Don, and we'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Franchise Interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919.
Need a business loan? Talk to Diamond Financial Services, the experts in franchise financing nationwide. Whether you're looking to start a franchise, acquire an existing franchise, or expand your territory through opening new locations, Diamond Financial stands by your side start to finish. From pre-qualification to packaging and presenting your application to securing a financial commitment and through the loan closing process, Diamond Financial is there. While you're waiting, thousands of others are making their financial dreams come true. Don't wait any longer. Pre-qualify now by completing a confidential, no-obligation financial analysis. Let's face it, traditional banks just aren't in the business of financing small business. At Diamond Financial, we specialize in securing franchise loans from $100,000 to $3 million and equipment leasing up to $150,000. Let us help you get started. Go to www.franchisefunding.net or call 877-508-2274. That's franchisefunding.net, 877-508-2274.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. Well, as we were saying earlier, Don, we have a great show this morning. We're meeting with Mike Nero, who is the founder of the Naturelle Franchise Opportunity. And Naturelle is a revolutionary new green carpet cleaning and upholstery cleaning service. And they use their own patented all-natural cleaning product and method. Hey, Mike, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, Mike. Mike, joining us is my co-host, Don Johnson. And I know, Don, you wanted to say good morning to Mike.
Yeah, Mike, Happy New Year. Thanks for coming on the show. We appreciate it. Have you been busy lately?
Yeah, we have.
Good.
Good, good. Well, Mike, we always like to start off asking our guests, where are you calling from this morning?
I'm in Santa Clara, California.
Oh, nice. Well, it's a little early there, so I appreciate you coming on this early.
Yeah.
Mike, what were you doing before starting Naturelle? I know it's an interesting story. Don and I were talking a little bit during the show of segment one this morning about how you started the company and everything.
Well, I've actually been in the carpet cleaning industry since 1990. So I was working for another carpet cleaning company and studying in business and biochemistry and developing the patented solution that we're using now.
When and why, Mike, did you decide to franchise the business? How did that all come about?
Well, after the patents were approved, or rather after we filed the patents, we were looking at what was the best way to expand this. And, of course, the first idea was let's sell it as a product. And that turned out to be a little bit problematic because it's a different system with this product. It's a low moisture method, and it required a bit more training than just simply setting them loose with the product. So we had people calling in with a lot of questions, and oftentimes a lot of the times the questions weren't so much how to use the product, but how to run a business. So it became really apparent that people who were buying the product were new in business, and what they really needed was a franchise structure to give them the support and training that they needed. And so we went to the trouble of turning this into a franchise and making it available that way.
So you spoke with professionals and experts in the franchise industry about their advice on franchising the concept and just really putting the whole structure together. You seeked some people in the industry, Mike?
Yeah, actually, I did a lot of homework. I studied a lot of other, at the time it was UFOCs, now it's UFDDs.
Right.
I studied an awful lot of those to see kind of what was a good deal and what was not a good deal for the franchisee and for the franchisor before we kind of made a final decision on all of the components that make up the franchise.
Now, that took a couple of years, didn't it? I mean, there's a long process.
It took a lot of time. Yeah, a lot of work. It's not that easy to put together a UFOC or a UFDD,
sure.
And then of course get it approved through the states.
You probably had a lot of legal bills, right?
Yeah, actually, a lot of it I was able to do myself, just because I'd studied so much of the UFOCs and UFDDs. But after I put it all together, then I did take it and have it looked over by attorneys. I have my business partner, it happens to be an attorney, so
okay.
He was able to look it all over too.
Good. You know, so how do you both, you and your partner, basically how do you describe the Naturel franchise system to people who are interested in investing, Mike?
The franchise system or the cleaning system? Which are you at?
Well, I'd say the franchise system, which I guess is going to, cover everything.
Okay. Well, it's a fairly inexpensive business to get into. At the moment, it's a $9,000 buy-in. That will be changing. That's actually a little bit too cheap. It doesn't leave us anything in the budget for marketing or anything, but it will be $20,000 in this new year.
Okay.
The franchise fee is 6% of gross, which starts 4 months after they've bought into the franchise, kind of gives them a chance to get up and get running before they have to start paying franchise fees. With the franchise package, they get almost everything that they need to start their business. So all of the equipment to equip one truck, the signage, the shirts, we actually even provide them with an accountant at our expense to stay on top of their books who will enter any checks, credit cards, deposits, basically takes care of the paperwork for them.
Right.
And also a complete HR package and the training. So they would come here for a week and go through the training, which has more to do with the business end of it. About three-quarters of it has to do with how to run the business. And the other quarter is how to operate the machinery and do the cleaning.
Now, and for people listening who might be asking, well, why Naturel? I mean, what are some of the, what do you consider really the strong selling points of someone investing in a Naturel compared to some of the other carpet cleaning franchises out there or different types of businesses? I mean, how do you explain it to people?
Well, carpet cleaning, like I said, is one of the least expensive businesses to get started in. They're looking at about $50,000 to $100,000 of initial investment to get up and rolling. That's one benefit. Another benefit is that it's a high profit margin business. Typically, in the carpet cleaning business, because it's a service, so it's labor intensive, you tend to make about a 30% profit margin in this industry on average. And the sky is the limit. You really, it depends on how much marketing you do as to how much you're going to gross. In natural and specific, what we offer is unique. It is not just kind of natural and kind of organic. It is completely organic. It's made from sea kelp. All of the processes that take it from raw material to finished product is all naturally occurring phenomenon. In addition to that, it dries fast because you're not using a lot of water. So you're spraying it on in a fine mist. Basically, you can clean an entire house of carpet with this method using less water than it takes to flush a toilet. So you can see it's going to dry pretty quickly, about a half an hour on average. That's an advantage to the customer because they're not waiting all day for it to dry. That makes it very marketable. The fact that it doesn't have a sticky, soapy residue means that it stays clean longer.
Well, that's a couple of big selling points. That aspect, the fact that it's all natural. And on segment one, Martin and I were talking about, we both have young children. And just in life, carpets are going to get messy. But you always worry about, with children, with chemicals and so forth. And so that's, I think, a big selling point, making mothers feel comfortable with this type of product for cleaning carpets. Right, Mike?
Right. Yes. That's really a very big selling point. People are concerned nowadays, not only just because they're looking for the greenest way to go, they're also, concerned about their kids crawling around on a carpet.
That's interesting. Yeah, I mean, and there's a lot of, negative aspects, as you're saying, Mike, to using water, as is mold, mildew, bacteria, and there's a reason that my wife and I have been putting off cleaning the carpets is because we don't want to wait. It usually typically takes 5 to 6 hours for the carpet to dry, And especially in the dead of winter in Pennsylvania, we don't want to do that, So it really is. It's a very clever system, I think, that you guys have, One of the things I mentioned, I think it was an interview I read with you, or it might even have been on your website, but, a lot of the carpet cleaners, from my experience, I don't know if you've had this experience, Don, but the cost is always a lot more significant than what was advertised, So say, okay, we'll clean 4 rooms for $99, and then it comes out to $300 or $400. You guys don't get into that, as they say, like pricing gimmicks or anything like that. It's been one of our frustrations with carpet cleaning,
It doesn't really make sense if you're trying to build a clientele you've got to make your customers happy and start off by playing games on the price is not a good way to start building a good relationship with your customers. So that's actually built into our policies. The franchisee doesn't have to stick to our price structure. We don't tell them that they have to charge exactly per room what we charge, but they do have to charge per room. It has to be a flat rate, and there can't be any extra charges. They can't come in with gimmicks and play with the price and irritate their clientele.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we've never used the same carpet cleaner yet, I think, in all the years we've been getting our carpets cleaned, I think it's a common practice in the industry, but that was one of the things that also, attracted me to your franchise opportunity. I think that's very important that, the franchisees are taught, not to get into that whole price gimmick thing because, a lot of times you do want to follow what your competitors are doing, this is very different, so I think you guys have a nice niche in the market, you're doing something really different. Have you always pictured yourself doing this, Mike? I mean, to come up with this idea, I mean, going back 20, 30, 40 years ago, I mean, like an inventor, I mean, have you always been like this entrepreneurial type of person?
Yeah.
Or you have?
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
Actually, yeah. I from the time I was 20, I think, I started a business. on a shoestring and
right.
You know, got my feet wet and just, you know, I can't imagine working in a cubicle.
9 to 5, right.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Well, we're speaking with Mike Nero, who's the founder of the Natural Franchise Opportunity. And one of the questions we've been asking on the show, Mike, I don't know if it's impacted your business or your industry, but what role has technology played in your business?
Huge. I mean,
this is
biochemistry.
Right.
You know? And so, yeah, it wouldn't have even been possible to do this without technology.
Okay. Makes sense. That's good. I
was just going to ask Mike, what's been the most interesting thing that's happened to you at the franchise? It's probably coming up with the product, I imagine, is, and the next step is nationally.
That was a slow process. Yeah, it was 10 years of work to develop the product. But most recently, the most exciting thing to happen is recognition from the EPA. We were awarded championship level from the EPA, the SDSI Awards.
That's a nice endorsement,
So the next step, obviously, is to really start expanding and growing the product and franchise nationwide. What type of characteristics, what type of people are you going to look for and you think will be successful owning a natural franchise?
Well, you have to remember that this is a people business. You're not just showing up to clean their carpet. These are people. You're dealing with the customer as well. So a person who is people-oriented, people-type people who enjoy talking to other people, and it's a service business, so you have to be willing to work hard, and also you have to be able to put enough money into startup. You don't want to start on a shoestring and struggle.
Right.
Are you going to want people with a sales background or prior business ownership? Will you take someone who's younger, who looks like they have some passion and drive to start up, as long as they have the startup money?
Absolutely. Yeah, younger is really good in this because, it's labor intensive. Older is fine, too, because there are actually two parts to starting and running one of these, and that is you have to run the office. You have to answer the phones and book the jobs. And then there's also the labor end of it. So even a person who wasn't able to do the labor end of it, provided that they had enough money to start up with, they could do the office end of it and hire someone else to do the labor end of it. Actually, that is the goal. Once you get up and running, you want to hire more and more people to operate more and more trucks on the road.
Right. Is it the same system, Mike, to clean upholstery as cleaning the carpets? I mean, are you using the same type of system?
It's the same cleaning product, of course,
okay.
But it's not the same machinery. Because
right.
The upholstery is far more absorbent than carpet, so you actually have to extract that using suction, whereas suction is not involved in the carpet cleaning end of it. Carpet cleaning is agitation and absorption using a bonnet.
Right. That's interesting. I know there is, with upholstery, is there a percentage, Mike, as far as like clients or customers, so you can say, I assume that carpet cleaning is a bigger percentage of sales versus upholstery. I could be wrong.
I would say carpet cleaning is the larger percentage. I suppose it would depend on how you wanted to, as a franchisee, how you wanted to market it. If you wanted to run ads that promoted upholstery cleaning, you can get plenty of that. With our price structure, we actually make better earnings on carpet than we do upholstery because upholstery is time-consuming.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing it inch by inch, so it takes as much
time
to do a sofa as it takes to do four rooms of carpet. So price-wise, you're actually making more on the carpet than the upholstery.
That makes sense.
What's the marketing plan, Mike, for new franchisees starting up? They're going to want to start getting their phones to ring and start to get busy a little bit. What's basically the game plan for someone starting out?
Well, the marketing material all comes also with the franchise. So they are provided with everything print-ready, and also in the training program, they're given kind of an idea of what works and what doesn't work, so a better idea of how to market. based on experience. And so usually you want to become visible to the customers in a number of ways. You want to have a web presence for one thing. You want to have, and the website, by the way, comes with the franchise package. You want to have a print presence. You want to be visible somewhere in print. And it's not a bad idea to have radio and television as well if you have a budget for it.
This is perfect, Maury, for a franchise we just had on recently, for Valpak coupons.
That's true, yeah. You see
we've never used them. We've never used them because that is typically the way you advertise a carpet cleaning business. But
right.
What I've found is that usually you have to offer a discount for one thing in order to get much response there. Your response tends to be about 1 in 1,000. 1,000 coupons go out, one job comes in per 1,000 typically in this industry. And they tend to be bargain hunters. So our customers tend to be the more informed, the ones who found us usually on the web. They're able to read a lot more information on a website than they are in an ad or in a coupon. And they're sold on it usually. And usually they're more loyal.
Why discount if you have a better product and some of the, you know, fast drying, patent formula? So I see your point. Why discount
right.
if you feel you have a superior product and service?
Right. Well, it's not just not discounting. It's about the loyalty of the customer. The reason that they chose you is because you were the best discount that they could find at the time. Then you're not really building a loyal clientele. You're building a clientele of people who the next coupon comes out, the next time they're ready to clean their carpet, they're going to go with whatever the best deal is then.
Yeah, and just using the word green, Mike, I mean, it's such a powerful word today, isn't it? You know, I mean, you just see it, you know, I mean, if you look at trends, I mean, I always ask my marketing, you know, what trends are taking place in the industry? You know, I mean, this word green, I mean, it carries a lot of weight today, you know, and I think that people, you know, in the United States market is becoming a lot more earth-friendly conscious, you know, and green mm-hmm. conscious, you know, so it's being in the right place at the right time, you know, so... I think that is fantastic. Are there numbers on the industry, Mike? Did you have any numbers on the industry as far as, I mean, this is a pretty big industry, isn't it, when we're talking about carpet cleaning and upholstery?
Yeah. The latest numbers I've seen are $5.3 billion. I think those are a little bit out of date. I think it's actually a little bit bigger than that by now.
Yeah.
And typically it's not franchises, for the most part, that dominate this industry. Franchised-owned units only make up about 12% of the industry.
Wow.
And so mostly it's small, independent operators, about 40,000 of them scattered across the country, and some of them doing exceptionally well, in excess of $1 million a year gross, and others that just do it part-time and make $20,000, $40,000 a year gross. So there's really quite a range in our industry of sizes of companies. And I think actually one reason that it hasn't become dominated by franchises is because the regular, anyone who wanted to start a carpet cleaning business could go to the carpet maintenance store and basically buy everything that they need to start, and I think that's typically what a lot of people do, and a lack of strong brand name or patented technology that they can't get otherwise allows them to do that.
Right. Interesting. Is there a percentage to, Mike, I mean, as far as, I'm under the assumption that it's more residential, you know, the customers, but I mean, the plans to expand more on the commercial end of things, you know, have commercial clients. I'm just curious if, you know, a lot of businesses out there, you know, they want to jump on that green bandwagon as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, have you got into that as well? I mean, do you
franchise? We do a little bit of commercial. Usually they find us.
Right.
We haven't really gone out and beaten the pavement to try and pick up commercial, although, you know, it's great. I really would like to do more commercial.
Right.
The commercial is hard to get because the facility managers, typically it's easier for them to deal with a one-source provider. So the janitor, tutorial company oftentimes gets the carpet as well, because
right.
it's just easier for them to deal with everything on one bill. There are several markets within this industry, and one is the commercial end of the market. The other end is the lower end, which is dealing with landlords and real estate people. It tends to be, that's a good, solid, you've always got a lot of business coming in, but they want it to
be
as cheap as possible,
right.
and it's not their carpet, so the quality isn't as important.
Mm-hmm.
They need it done, you know, usually on a very short notice. That's really not our end of the market. We tend to be high-end residential, which is the hardest end, actually, to get it. You have to make the customers happy in order to build the clientele, and you have to advertise more to get more customers on the high-end residential than when you're dealing with janitorial. When you're dealing with commercial jobs, you only need one or two really big ones, and
that is true.
You know, compared to lots and lots of residential.
Yeah, that's true. And the whole key is getting that repeat sale as well, from like you were saying earlier.
And the referrals.
Absolutely, and the referrals, you know. I mean, it's a lot of times you see the truck go by and things like that, and you just, it does carry a lot of weight, absolutely. Is there a typical day for a franchisee, like for a natural franchisee? Like, what would a typical day be like from the morning till the end of the day?
It kind of depends on how long they've been in this and how big they've grown their organization. But typically, saying that they're starting it and they're a one-man operation, then they have, like I said earlier, they have to deal with the telephones and they have to do the jobs as well. So you start off in the morning getting your truck all prepared to do the day's work, and then you'd go off to your first customer. Typically 9 o'clock in the morning is what we like to schedule the first one. And it's an interesting job. It's a lot more interesting than we would imagine. You get to meet a lot of people. You're not in the same place every day. If you're a people person and you like to talk to people and meet new interesting people, this is a terrific way to spend your day, because you're in the customer's home. They feel most comfortable, and you're never in the same place twice. You're somewhere different every day.
Yeah, and that customer is probably asking a lot of questions too, Mike, because you guys are something different, So I'm sure they are curious. I mean, when I heard, Seek Help, I was, fascinated. I said, wow, I was like, that's pretty interesting, if you think about it, so that is something different. It's not just like a typical carpet cleaner, using, as you said, like water and chemicals, so it's a great way to also converse, I guess, with the customer, as you're actually doing
right.
it.
It's completely different because you're using enzymes and biosurfactants, which it's a catalyst that's just completely different than using oil-based detergent to release the dirt and a high-pressure spray with suction behind it to clean the dirt out. So.
Yeah, a great way to build rapport with the customer, Just talking to them, and building a relationship at that moment, is just, to ultimately get that repeat sale. So I think it's really very interesting.
I guess the goal, Mike, is to have that franchisee quickly just get to the point where they can just be, doing all the, not the actual cleaning of work. They want to be obviously taking some new appointments and building the business, doing all the back office type work, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that really is the goal, is to add as many trucks as they can possibly add.
We're speaking with Mike Nero, who's the founder of the Natural Franchise Opportunity. What advice would you give to an aspiring entrepreneur looking to buy a franchise? Kind of goes back to the other question a little bit about, characteristics that you look for in a franchisee. Would that be similar to when it comes to just, giving them advice? Would that be about the same, Mike?
I suppose, yes, it would be. I guess if you're a potential franchisee, you want to look at all of your options. You want to choose the right industry that fits you and what you like to do and what you can afford to start up, and you should look at your options within that industry and choose the one that works
a match, right?
Plenty of due diligence, something Marty and I always talk about on our shows.
Make
sure you're making the right decision and think of something, you know, that you're going to want to do for several years. What are Natural's plans for the future?
Well, we're still brand new as a franchisor, and we're hoping to expand nationwide with franchises throughout the country. We think we have the potential to become one of the largest franchisors in our industry, although we're still very new at it, so we still have to prove that.
That's great. What's the best way for our listeners, Mike, to get more information on becoming a franchisee with the Natural Franchise System? Is there a website they can go to?
Yeah, our website is at www.naturelclean, that's N-A-T-U-R-E-L-L, clean.
.com.
.com.
Okay, great. And we actually have a link up on our show page as well, Mike, on our show page where listeners can actually click for today's guest, and they can go right to your website as well. I want to thank you again, Mike. I think you guys have an interesting franchise concept, and I'd like to have you back as you guys continue to grow.
Thank you.
Thanks so much,
Mike.
Have a great day today.
Take care.
You too.
Thank you.
Interesting concept, huh, Tom?
Yeah, I think he's right that they have the potential to be one of the largest in their industry with this product they have. They go about it in a smart way.
I like it. I mean, to me, it makes a lot of sense. You know what I mean? You're in somebody's house. You're talking about this great concept, you know? I mean, I'm still curious about it. Seek help, you know? It's like, geez,
right.
I mean, how did you guys come up with that idea, you know? So there's a whole story there, and that's what you want to do is you want to build a relationship with the customer, you know? Look for any excuse to talk to them, you know, and ultimately get that repeat sale because, you know, if you have carpet cleaners come to your house before, I mean, some of them have barely even said hi, you know? So I think they're really onto something. I think that, you know, they are going to be a very big franchise, so we'll keep our eye on them.
Yes.
And again, next week,
we have Shelf Genie, Marty, next week. Looking forward to that, and, solid shows lined up. I'm excited about a couple more next month.
That's great, and we got to remember to plug GoFranchise.com. You know, you can actually listen to live shows on GoFranchise.com, and don't forget to go to FranchiseInterviews.com, where once again we've modernized our website. It's very user-friendly and getting a lot of great feedback on it. So you did a great job today, Don, and again, for our listeners, thanks for listening, and we'll see you guys again next week.
Have a good
day,
Marty.
Take care, Don. Take care.
Bye.